Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, providing cash flow solutions for businesses in Ireland with invoice discounting.
Today FM.
It's time for the business news. Ian Guider, Markets Editor of the Business Post, is with us. And quite a few of the stories that we're going to cover, we have touched on earlier in the programme, but I think they are worth reiterating, given their importance to employment in particular and the continued viability of so many businesses. In particular, Ian, all of these hospitality and events companies who desperately want the government to sanction their reopening in December or else.
Yeah, good evening, Matt. A real plea from hundreds of well-known names in the hospitality sector to the Taoiseach today ahead of that decision as to what level we'll move to later on next week. About 500 names, Matt, people from the Restaurants Association of Ireland, the Vintners, but well-known hoteliers, Adair Manor is amongst them, but also all the event management companies who would have had a big business planning parties for Christmas, would have had a lot of conferences coming up in Dublin in the run-up to Christmas as well. And of course, next year as well, there'd be a lot of business taking place in early January, particularly in the aviation sector, lots of conferences taking place in Ireland, but all of these things on hold, on the back burner, and all of the companies telling the government, look, if you don't move from level five down to a level in the restrictions where we can operate, for many of these companies, this is a last chance. That the lifeline that they need is to get open, get back into business before Christmas, if you're in hotels, if you're in restaurants, if you're pubs, if you're in event management, that they simply won't have the cash. Lots of these companies will be booming right now before Christmas. I don't think anybody's going to be making a whole lot of money, but if they could get in some cash, it gives them a bit of a chance come January when there'll be lots of bills to be paid, but also when they'll be looking at putting on more events and gearing up for the busy spring period as well.
Will it be a busy spring period if they have to shut again? This is the rock and a hard place dilemma for the government, because if they were to allow it to happen, doesn't it raise the possibility of requiring then a further third lockdown in the spring?
You know, and that's the thing, like the more you open and close businesses, what's the incentive to keep the doors open the next time if you're not going to be able to open on a regular basis? How will you be able to have the staff, the suppliers, the creditors to be able to pay them? You know, I was speaking to one publican myself over the weekend, Matt, somebody who was hopeful to be open before Christmas. They were getting things ready and said, look, if they cannot get open before a few weeks at Christmas, where they could at least take in some cash to tide them over into a January period that's normally quiet, well, they're not going to be able to really make it next year, that they can't hang on till February or March when there's a vaccine. They do need to get some cash in the door right now. People particularly critical of the government schemes that I've heard from lots of businesses, that the banks aren't really lending. Some of the government schemes for grants and loans are not really working out there. The only thing that matters to companies now is taking in cash. And unless you're open, you're not going to be taking in any revenue whatsoever. So I think all of that will be weighing on the government, Matt, particularly when we see those figures of the number of people today on the pandemic unemployment payment, now just over 350,000 people. That's 100 million out the door from the Department of Social Protection tomorrow in those payments.
Tony Holohan surprised a lot of people last week when he made comments about the car park's been full, and he was suggesting that lots of people have returned to work in their offices. A bit of a rebuke for that today from one person who should know the numbers. Tell us about this.
Yes, this is the chief executive of Euro Car Parks, which have more than 200 car parks around Ireland. So somewhere in the region of 80,000 cars they could accommodate. And this chief executive, David Cullen, said that most, particularly in Dublin city centre, car parks are deserted and many others have been closed during the level five lockdown. And he's speaking to the Irish Times, and his quote is actually very interesting, saying we have not got any evidence to support what he's saying. In fact, quite the contrary. There are less people in now than in the first lockdown. And Matt, I have to say, you know, we've all said we should be guided by data and not anecdotes. So I would imagine that given that the car parks now operate on an electronic basis where you're tagged in and out and there's cameras, it would be quite easy for your car parks to tell how many people are going in. And again, we heard from the chief medical officer last week that he had seen canteens, rumours of canteens and workplaces being full. You know, I'm talking to many employers myself, Matt, and they would love their workers back into the office or back into the workplace, because of course it's disruptive for many companies not to have their employees, even a skeletal staff, in the office right now. So again, you know, there are, of course, we've all got our own individual anecdotes and bits of information and gossip, but we're all supposed to be guided by actual data and information. And the Euro Car Parks chief executive saying that, yeah, this work from home message has actually gotten through this time. So when you look at traffic, what's going on, you look what's going on in the workplace, well, actually, there aren't people queuing up and getting into car parks and going into offices.
Something we also discussed earlier in the program, but I think it's worth bringing up again, those comments by the Irish boss of Qantas Airlines in Australia, Alan Joyce, that they're going to get to a stage where people getting on the planes will actually have to prove that they have been vaccinated against COVID-19 before they're allowed to fly. That is fascinating. There's also been suggestions coming out of the United States that Ticketmaster are going to do the same before you can purchase a ticket to go to a concert or a big game. Even if there are many people who may not want to take a vaccine, they may end up being forced into doing so if they want to avail of all of the opportunities of commerce.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I saw these comments today by Alan Joyce, I think it's the first time we've seen an aviation executive speak the absolutely obvious, because obviously we're testing people, or we want to test people before they get on a plane or test them a couple of days afterwards. We're then saying that, well, actually, the antigen tests, these rapid antigen tests that can give you the result in a few minutes, they're not actually very reliable, or not as reliable enough as the PCR test. So if there's only really one way to give confidence back to the aviation industry, and that is the vaccine. Because Matt, you think of it, if you're going to Australia, yes, you can plan in advance and get a PCR test. But if you're going on a short flight to London or Manchester or Paris, you're not really going to be able to justify the cost of going up and getting a private PCR test. So there's only one real way for the aviation industry to get back flying at any type of normal levels, that you don't have the middle seat maybe vacant or half empty planes, and that is a vaccine. So that's going to cause a whole lot of issues, Matt. Let's leave the anti-vaxxers crowd beside, Matt. But what about the people for whom it's maybe not be safe to take a vaccine? Are we now going to be finding out that they are not going to be able to travel? So this is the potential solution for the aviation industry. But it's a question of who gets the vaccine and how quickly, and what parts of the world where we will have difficulty getting a vaccine to. It's all right for us here in Western Europe. We'll be among the first to get it, Matt. But what about the less developed countries? What about parts of the world where there may be an issue as to the cost of it as well? Particularly for international travel for these countries, it is, as I said, the ideal solution, but you could have issues here with, there could be some people left behind in 2021 unless they get the vaccine fairly quickly.
And one last one, aviation related, because I'd imagine there's still many, many months of great financial hardship ahead for the aviation industry until the vaccines are available. But when you do get the chance to fly again, who's going to want to get on a 737 MAX from Boeing? But they are going to be available to fly despite their difficulties.
They are, yes. This is the head of the European Aviation Safety Agency. He gave an interview to French media over the weekend saying that in the next week, the European authorities will grant the Boeing 737 MAX clearance to fly again. That means it will go out for a 30-day consultation to people within the industry to check the safety data and all of the reviews. And then hopefully you would have then, by the middle of January, you would then have the Boeing 737 MAX willing to fly. And Matt, I think we spoke a few weeks ago about saying how it wouldn't be great to get on a plane again. Well, can you imagine having got your vaccine for COVID-19, you're delighted to get on a flight, and suddenly you're told your plane today is a Boeing 737 MAX. Would you be worried about it? Or will they then have to start saying, well, look, will they decide not to tell you what type of Boeing you are flying? I've seen some of these conversations in the United States where you may not be told, or you may phase out over time the Boeing 737 MAX jet. First flights in America taking place on December 29th with American Airlines. It will be interesting to see how customers respond to that before the plane gets on the skies in Europe.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider, Markets Editor of the Business Post, for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, providing cash flow solutions for businesses in Ireland with invoice discounting.
Today FM.